We're starting a new topic this week, and it's called Don't Forget in the Dark What God Told You in the Light. Okay? So I'm taking it from Psalm 103 and verse 2, where it says this: Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Another translation says, Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things that he does for me. So if we're going through a dark time right now, this scripture could just be the right one for you. It says, never forget the goodness of God, all the good things he's done in the past. Never forget in the dark times what you knew to be true in the good times. You know, if we are still standing, we have something to thank God for. If we're still breathing today, just look at the person beside you, check they're still breathing, you know. Otherwise, we could have our first miracle on our hands. If we're still breathing today, we have something to thank God for. If we look closely enough at our life, there will always be something to thank God for. I'm going to, this man, I hope I pronounced his name correctly. It's Horatio Spafford, I think. Horatio Spafford lived round about the 1870s, and he lost his four-year-old son in the great Chicago fire of 1871. He also lost the majority of his finances as well. His wife and remaining four children were then put on a boat, and they were crossing the Atlantic from America to England when the boat sank. And he received a telegram from his wife to say all four of his daughters had died in that accident, and only his wife survived. So he'd lost all five children. He then wrote a hymn, maybe not quite that day, but he wrote this hymn that became a very well-known hymn. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to know, it is well with my soul. So I don't know if it's been a tough week, a tough year, or a tough decade, but can we still say it is well with our soul? Can we lift up our voice and praise God for all that he's done, no matter what we're having to walk through? So here's a revelation today. Here's the first revelation I want to bring. While there's breath in our bodies, there should be praise on our lips. There is always something to praise God for. But we're only human. And there's a tendency in most of us to focus on the negatives. I read somewhere that if you're given 8 positives and 2 negatives, most of us will focus on the 2 negatives. And I think that's true. You know, I've been in these so-called professional career meetings where you're meant to meet your head teacher or something, or your line manager, and you sit with them, and they're supposed to tell you where your career's going and ask you where you feel your career's going and all these different things. And there's supposed to be lots of positives in there. And no matter how many positives there are, you come out and you focus on the one negative, you know, or the 2 negative. That's how we are as human beings. We forget all the good stuff. We also forget all the good things that God has done for us. You know, when our ship is sinking, we cry out, where are you, God? Where are you? You know, when the disciples' ship was going under one time and there was waves crashing in on the boat, they're like, where are you in all this, Jesus? And he was in the boat with them, asleep, because it was no big deal to him. He knew he could get them through. Here's a quote from Andrew Womack. It is a human tendency to forget. Just look at the children of Israel. How often throughout their time in the wilderness did the people forget what the Lord had done? And that's why God gave them so many festivals, and so many things to celebrate throughout the year. They're always going from a seven-day festival, maybe to a two-day festival. Whatever it is, the Jewish people were always going from festival to festival. See, they didn't. God couldn't send them a text message or a reminder on their phone or a wee app to prompt them that a festival was due and to, that they were due some praise and worship. So he did all of these things to remind them of all that he had done for them, even in the dark times. Let's look at Moses. Moses had just led Israel out of slavery. Now, I won't go into detail, but we did this the other week. How many million people was it? Anybody remember? It was about 3 million people that came out of Egypt to travel with Moses to the promised land. So he just led them out of slavery. They'd crossed the Red Sea, and they came out, the Bible tells me, with silver and gold and health and strength on the brink of the promised land. Everything for Israel at this time was just tickety-boo, okay? Then in Exodus 15 and verse 22, we pick up the story. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness. They went a distance of 3 days, which is about 33 miles, about 11 miles a day, in the wilderness, and they found no water. Verse 24. The people grew discontented and grumbled at Moses, saying, "What are we going to drink?" So Israel have just seen an amazing miracle. Moses freed them from slavery to Egypt. God, through Moses, opened up the Red Sea. I don't know if you can picture it. It might have been the width of this hall. Certainly would have been the width of this gym hall and maybe the other side as well. And then the water would have been banked up on each side, maybe the height of the ceiling, which is about two houses high at least. And you would have been able to see the fish swimming in the sea as you walked through. And they just had just witnessed and been part of this most amazing miracle where they walked through. And not only did they walk through, they walked through on dry land, and all the Egyptian soldiers that were chasing them, threatening to kill them, well, they were drowned in the sea behind them. Their enemy were destroyed. They were 100% free from slavery, poverty, and sickness. It was an amazing miracle, and yet it took them all of 3 days to forget. It took all of 3 days to forget the miracle. It took them all of 3 days to start to grumble and complain against Moses. Here's a few more examples of the complaining. Exodus 17, verse 3. But the people were thirsty for water, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" Numbers 14, 2. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, "If only we died in Egypt." I'd be saying, "You're ungrateful so-and-so. You've strike you off my Christmas list." Numbers 16, verse 41. The whole Israelite community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. Exodus 15, 24. So the people grumbled against Moses. Psalm 106, verse 25. They grumbled in their tents and did not obey the Lord. Just grumbling in their tents. Did you know that grumbling and complaining can be disobeying God? So here's a question. What have we been grumbling and complaining about lately? And does it really warrant a complaint? Or have we lost sight of the blessings of God too? Are we focusing more on the negatives than we are on the positives? Here's a prophetic word. It's the name of this whole scripture for this week and next week, but it's not just a title that I've plucked out of the air. I want us to take it home as prophetic. Don't forget in the dark what God told you in the light. We need to hang on to that. Yes, there may be dark days, but we must stay focused on God's goodness. Don't forget the goodness of God and all that he's done for us in the past, all the times he's already provided, all the ways he's already shown his love. And then we doubt his love. You know, if he did it before, he can do it again. He can bring his light into our dark days just by letting him stand beside you. You know, he's the light of the world, and he'll stand beside us no matter what we're having to walk through. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 and 18 says this. Though the fig tree does not bud, There are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. You know, to begin with, this sure paints a bleak picture of some very dark times that this person was going through. And don't you just hate it when you've got no grapes, no sheep, and no cows? You know? It's a pretty rough day when we've got no grapes, no sheep, and no cows. That was their wealth. That was a picture of their wealth and provision. And this person was saying, I've got no food, I've got no wealth, it's all gone. But even if I've got nothing, even if it gets as black as this, and I am left with nothing, I will not forget. I will not forget my God or the power of my God. I'll still rejoice. I'll still praise him. I'll find something to be thankful for. In the Amplified Bible, just that one verse, verse 18, says this, I will choose to rejoice. I will choose to shout in exultation in the victorious God of my salvation. No matter what happens, we have a choice. We must choose to praise God. I want us to note, we can't choose the circumstances, but we can choose our attitude in them. I was talking to someone this morning who said they'd had a week where everything just seemed to be thrown at them, and something like that happened to me this week. But as soon as it happened, and it was negative words that were spoken, I just, in front of me, I saw the trap, you know, the trap that catches a fox or something. I saw the trap, and the bait was in it. And I knew it was the enemy. So he wants me to react to this, and believe me, I was tempted. And I thought, the trap is there, and these negative words have been spoken, and the spirit of slap was on me. I really just wanted to go, who do you think you're talking to, you know? But I didn't. I just grumbled and complained to my husband a little bit, grumbled and complained to my daughter a little bit. And then I realized that it was a trap, and I had to ignore it, and I had to walk on and just praise God. If they were in a bad mood, let them be in a bad mood, but why should I let it be my mood? You know, I was going to praise God anyway. So we can't choose the circumstances, but we can choose not to take the bait in the circumstances. Romans 1, verse 21 says this, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. I pray we never get this negative mindset. We never let our hearts get darkened to God, believing the lies of the enemy that he's set in the trap, that God's forgotten us. Because he says he'll never forget us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. No matter how dark things get, we must thank God and glorify him in our hearts. Keep our hearts filled with his light. How? By believing the word and the truth in the word that he's said to us. The word glorify means put worth and value on something, bestow honor and praise. So we must choose to praise God even in the darkest situation. I don't mean we thank him for the situation. No sane person says, thank you for the mess I'm in. You know, we're not stupid. We might be Christians, but we're not totally stupid. You know, don't give up your common sense when you become a Christian. We're not thanking him for the circumstances, but we're praising God. He is with us in the middle of the mess. He's never going to leave us. He's going to help us get through it, no matter what. James 1, 17 says this, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. It doesn't say this mess is from God. It's the good and perfect gifts that are from God. God only ever give good gifts to his children. The bad stuff is not from him. It just happens in life. He's the Father of light and not darkness. His love for us does not change. God's telling us this in the light so we won't forget it when we're in the dark. And even if we walk through the valley of the shadow of death itself, remember, God is with us. He is with us. His love and his goodness follow us all the days of our lives, Psalm 23 says. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the shepherd is with us every single day. And some of us have been there in the valley of the shadow of death. I've been there. I've been there when loved ones have died. I've been there myself. If I hadn't had medical intervention, I would have died. Yeah, I've been there myself, and people in this room have been there, but God is with us even in those shadow times. I want to finish with a story from the New Testament, and it's in Mark chapter 6. Just give you a little history on it. Jesus had just fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And the story tells us there was 12 baskets left over. It was a miracle. And immediately after this, the disciples got into a boat to sail to the other side of the sea. Jesus stayed on the land, the Bible says, to disperse the people. So he's on the land, they're in the sea. Then the sea gets rough, and the disciples are struggling. And Jesus sees them in trouble, and he walks out on the water to meet them. So it's Mark chapter 6, and start at verse 49. When they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost, and they cried out in horror, for they all saw him and were shaken and terrified. But he immediately spoke with them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Stop being afraid." Then he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were completely overwhelmed because they had not understood the miracle of the loaves, how it revealed the power and deity of Jesus. But their heart was hardened and indifferent to his amazing work. You don't read that very often about the disciples. You think they were on his team. He was, you know, they were, he was their man. They were like, whoop, whoop, we're behind Jesus. But not in this example, they weren't. Their hearts were hardened. Jesus had just done an amazing miracle. The Bible says he fed 5,000 men, but it doesn't mention the women and children. So even if we just add in one woman and one child for each family group, you're looking at over 15,000 got fed that day on just 5 loaves and 2 fish. And the disciples were right in the middle of that, watching the whole thing with their eyes. You know, I think sometimes we think, well, if I could just go back and walk the streets with Jesus, I'd believe it more. I don't think you would. Because they had no idea, is he really the Son of God? We think he might be. They had no idea when he died on the cross there was going to be a resurrection. They were just making it up as they went along. We've got more knowledge now than they had. And they were there right in the middle of the whole thing, watching a miracle unfold in front of their eyes, and not a small one. 15,000 people. You know, the hillside must have been crowded. And yet, within a few hours, they forgot everything. That's why it says their hearts were hardened, because they forgot that Jesus was there for them to help them through the dark times. They forgot what they saw in the light when they were going through the dark. When the storm came and the waves were against them, they forgot. Similarly, God does good things for us. We've seen it with our own eyes because we were there. We were there when the money came through for the electric bill. We were there when we got the car half price or reduced. You know, we were there when we went round Asda's and we got the 2-for-1 offer, you know, to feed all the kids. Must be costing you a fortune, Bridget. You know, we were there when God did that miracle. And yet when the storms come, we forget too. Sometimes we are no different to the disciples. We take our eyes off all that God's already done and we forget. We forget his power, we forget his love, and we forget his promise to never leave us or forsake us. We meet a friend, we grumble and complain about our lot. We even complain to God about what's happened. Yep, done that this week. But God says, don't forget what I've done in the past. Remember the good things. Remember, if I walked out on the water to save the disciples, I'll walk out on the water to save you too. Today, God is saying, please don't forget in the dark what I told you in the light. Thank you.